Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Recent reports had suggested that the German insurance giant Allianz had decided to pause investments in the residential property market here due to the potential reputational risk for its business. Now, while Allianz has since labelled that suggestion as untrue and misleading, it has prompted debate about whether criticism of so-called cuckoo funds and vulture funds could disincentivise companies from investing in Ireland due to negative coverage of them. And with me to discuss this further is Rory Hearn, who's Assistant Professor of Social Policy at Maynooth University, and Sean Keyes, Finance Correspondent with The Currency. And you're both very welcome. Thank you for being here. Sean, we'll start with you. Let's leave Allianz aside now, because they've denied that this was the case in their situation. But when we take a look at the big picture, there are many companies involved in this kind of investment in Ireland. Do you have a concern that those investment funds might be just put off coming to Ireland?
I think the concern is that the private investment or foreign investors provide the vast majority of the money to build houses in Ireland at the moment. That's the way our system has evolved. In the first 9 months of this year, more than three quarters of the investment in new housing in Ireland came from overseas. So that's like that's what's at stake, you know. And in terms of like what might put them off, well, I think what you hear from them is what they really care about is certainty. They just want they invest in housing all over Europe, all over the world. Politics is part and parcel of that. Rules around tenancies, everything are part and parcel of that. That's accepted. But what they struggle with is uncertainty, changing rules. And I think in Ireland, the risk is that we change rules a lot and that would put them off.
In saying what you've just said, are you accepting that we need them?
Well, I do believe we need them, yes. I think, okay, there's a lot that comes into the housing debate. There's a question of like how houses look, where they're built and who owns them. But I think that most people would agree that the key question in Ireland is affordability. And I think the question of affordability really hinges on one key question, which is when a private developer builds a home, who benefits from that? I think Rory, I think, would say that the people who benefit are the developer and maybe the person who buys the home. I very strongly believe that when a private developer builds a home, that the entire city, the entire country benefits through lower housing costs.
And even that's if that's a very fancy, expensive apartment.
Well, yes, I do believe that. And the reason I think that is, well, there are three reasons, right? Firstly, people have looked at exactly that question. If you build a fancy glass apartment in the middle of town, what happens to affordability in the bottom half of the income distribution for ordinary people? And what happens is, it sort of makes sense if you think about it, a chain reaction takes place. People move out of housing that is in, let's say, the East Wall or Ringsend. They move into the glass tower. That creates a chain reaction and more housing is available down the chain. They find that for every 100 units that you build in these sorts of developments, about 60 thereabouts are created for the bottom half of the income distribution.
Okay, so Rory, you say that these investors just have a negative role in this country, bottom line.
Well, Claire, what I've said and have been saying for about 7 years now, since 2014, since the housing crisis really started emerging, was that the state needed to build affordable homes, and that that if we looked at the likes of NAMA, which got a huge amount of land from the crash, that it should have used that land to build affordable homes. But instead, what the state has done over the last 7 years is turn to international equity investment as the key way to provide the new supply of housing. And the point I have been making is that we have been giving away our land, our assets, to these funds. And these funds do what international equity funds do. They are about trying to maximise their return from housing as a commodity investment. That is their business model. And what I've made the point is that over time, what that has led to is actually made our housing system more unaffordable. And if we look at the evidence,
back to what Sean was saying, you don't accept that if you build the fancy glass box apartment and someone who has the money to afford that, if they move into that apartment, they're freeing up housing further down the line. You don't accept that argument?
No, I don't accept that argument, and I'll explain why. If we look at, for example, first of all, the type of investment, and there's different forms of investment coming in here, the types of investment has now reached the point where we have about, I would argue it's distorting and it's disproportionate within our market. If we look at the new supply, and you know, Sean mentioned this, the extent of funding that's coming in here, 50% of new homes were bought up by investors non-household purchasers last year. Most new apartments that are being provided by investor funds. We know that those apartments are at, basically, you need to be earning over 100,000 to be able to afford the rent on a one bed or two bed apartment. So we have most housing being produced for only 10% of the income deciles. The recent KPMG report showed that 2/3 of households in Dublin will not be able to afford housing from the market in the next 8 years. They're extrapolating and saying these funds are not going to provide a supply that will reduce rents. What we actually need, if you look at these funds, the other issue, of course, is they do leave property vacant. Mm-hmm. It happens in London, it's happening in Dublin, that if they're not getting the rents,
they just leave it empty.
And my last point is shows how they make housing unaffordable is the housing bodies like Respond, Clwyd, the housing associations have made the point that because the investment funds and this global equity investment is playing such a dominant role in the market, they are being outbid to buy land for affordable housing. So it's locking out the potential for affordable housing because there's so much capital coming in, pushing up land prices, which is a fundamental cost within housing.
Okay, so you say, Sean, there is no other solution at the moment other than these big investment funds becoming involved in property, but you just heard Rory saying there that the people who can do this can't afford to do it because of the cash that's flowing in from the big guys.
Well, I think that there's two questions here. One is, why are there more housing not, why are private developers not building housing for all sorts of price points? And the other question is, the ones that they are building for in the glass towers, are they benefiting people? I've already answered the first question. I think that every additional new house does benefit. But if you're asking why private developers aren't able to build houses at that retail or that go for 300,000 quid, 400,000, that comes down to construction costs. Ireland is an unusually expensive place to build. The only way that you can finance an apartment development in Ireland is currently not for sale because it's too expensive to build it, only for rent and only if financed by a very patient long-term investor. So like an institutional fund. So like the reality is like the only, given our setup in Ireland at the moment, the only way that we can deliver these homes, these apartments at scale is to rent and finance by institutional investors.
So if these investors weren't here, there'd be no apartments, there'd be no building.
Correct. The only way those apartments are getting funded is through institutional investors. Even our banking system will not fund them.
Rory?
So the point there is, I don't agree with that point. I think straight up I'll say I don't agree with it. Because if we look at the funding that's coming in, the finance that's available, this argument, this is the only form of supply, it's actually not true. There are other forms of, first of all, within Ireland, for example, the AIB has just announced a new fund, $500 million for building social housing. We have some capacity there that could have more lending. The ESRI has said very clearly the state could borrow an additional $3 billion a year to be building homes. And this is really important because the funds are probably investing in the region of $1 billion to $1.5 billion in a year. So the ESRI said the state could actually be borrowing three times that to invest. But this is my point. I have an issue more with our state policy than with the funds. My argument is the state has skewed policy towards these funds because it has been reluctant to, and I've made this point, has actually hoarded its own land, hasn't done what it could do, and creates the opportunity for these mm-hmm. funds to come in. The funds are doing what funds do, but we could be if we wanted to. We provided homes in this country in the 1930s when we were an impoverished country. Are we saying we cannot provide homes for our people?
Yeah. Sean?
Well, I think, like, if you look at the numbers, we're in an emergency situation. It's something, I think of it as like Dunkirk. There are hundreds of thousands of people who are stranded on the beach. We need to get them off there as soon as possible. And I think that the key question is, how do you get them off as quickly as possible? Do you do it by fiddling around, insisting that only a particular type of housing gets built, or do you do it with an all hands to the pump? Everything is on the table. State-led development, private-led development, all capital and all resources that can be developed, that can be deployed towards building homes. That's deploying towards building homes.
Yeah, but the problem is if you go in with that strategy, the people with the deepest pockets will survive this. You know, if you go in and you say, right, anyone who can solve this problem is welcome to solve it. Who's going to win in that situation? Not the housing associations.
Well, a lot of homes are going to be built. That's the key point. And I think, again, it just comes back to this key question. When you build homes, who benefits? And
But are they affordable homes, Sean? You said affordability is the key. Mm-hmm. And the real concern is that they're not affordable homes. And in many instances as well, we're seeing, particularly with the build-to-rent sector, that, and this again is down to legislation, which changed planning rules, which meant that they're dominant, you know, they are smaller units than existed and are set out in the development plans. And I would argue that actually we should change the legislation and change the requirements so that, and that is set out in the Dublin City Plan, to require more units so that investors coming in here have to go, okay, we can't just build very small units and there should be a certain proportion of them available to buy. If we changed what investors had to do, then maybe we would have a different type of investment as well.
But you have written and called for real investment to happen. I mean, is this not real investment? This is what investment is, isn't it? What these funds are doing.
Well, there are other forms of investment. There's other forms of even international private capital, which is not chasing such high rents. Like we look at, for example, all supply is not necessarily good supply. And this is the point, that there is some forms of supply that is luxury product that can be and is left vacant. It also is unaffordable. And the problem is these funds are building at the high end. They're dragging up rents because market rents are calculated on the basis of finding three properties.
Yeah, you don't agree with that, Sean?
You know, in some areas, though, it's not true. It's not, because the issue is,
which
for
point
example,
on the fact that when these properties are built, Rory is saying that the rents do not come down. You say they do.
Yeah, well, see, that this is a thing. And if I saw it the way Rory saw it, then I would agree with him on a whole bunch of things. But if you believe that building new properties or building new home apartments to rent drags rents upwards, then we say, well, okay, we need to rethink everything. And likewise on housing, on house prices. But that's just simply not the case. Ireland has a chronic shortage of apartments. We've underbuilt for 10 years. We've had and evidence has shown that rents have gone up for the last 10 years because we've had too few apartments available to rent. What we need is to flood the market, to flood the supply with new.
Will the investment funds leave the apartment empty if they can't get the rent that they want?
Well, okay, on that point, that was introduced because we introduced new rules which would cap the increases of rent. So investment funds see that there's a housing, that there's during the COVID crisis, rents fall, so they're holding back supply. But I mean, the key question is,
so they do that. They are prepared to leave that unit empty until they get the rent that they want.
Well, I think like Rory would focus on a tall building which has like 20% vacancy. I focus on all the empty spaces and all the buildings that haven't been developed, all the supply that could exist but that we don't develop. That's the real key to unlocking this. There's a huge amount of development that doesn't happen in Dublin and in Ireland. Dublin has the fewest tall buildings of any similar sized city in Europe.
But also I think the point is that the first thing is it's also what we're not doing, and there is an issue with vacancy within the investor fund type development, and there is some investors that have very high levels of occupancy. Absolutely, they're close to 98%. There is another point I actually wanted to make, which is really important, which is taxation. Okay, these investment funds pay little, if any, tax, and we know that. I calculated they probably made in the region of $500 million in rent last year, these funds, from their 20,000 plus property. That is a tax foregone of this country of probably in the region of $150 million a year we are losing in taxation through providing housing this way. Well, but on the wider question of vacancy and also this investment, is the point is that there are other ways we could be providing housing. There are other ways we could be investing. We have 180,000 vacant homes. Why has that not been tackled? And it comes back to my point. The state, in my view, has been captured by this the investment funds and has focused on the delivery needs to come through them rather than looking at things like vacancy, dereliction, what the state itself could be doing. And I think the problem is that, yes, of course, we need every home that's built, but they need to be affordable. They need to be decent quality. And we can ensure that they are.
And what would
we
happen
also
if,
for example, that there's a whole load of planning permissions that investment funds hold that they're not building on. They are hoarding those.
What would happen, Rory, if they just stopped? If the foreign investment funds just said, not doing it anymore, I'm out?
Well, first of all, we know that they're not going to stop straight away because rents are at the point where they deem them profitable. And that is another issue. Are these rents sustainable?
We would be in trouble, wouldn't they, if they stopped?
No, I don't think we would be in trouble. I actually think what would happen then would we have a process by which hopefully they would sell their land. We would tax the land. We would tax vacant buildings so they do actually sell that back in. You would actually have more homes available for people to buy because they're purchasing a huge amount of the new homes been built. So you'd actually have more homes available affordable for people to buy, you would hopefully see a fall in rents, a fall in house prices, and I would argue then the state would have to invest more so that we actually have affordable housing. And you would also have other forms of private international equity who wants to invest on a low return over a long-term basis to provide that housing.
So, Sean, it wouldn't be catastrophic if they upped sticks and left?
Well, look, I think that there's certainly a way that that can work, right? I mean, people on the left point to Vienna as this model. It's government-led, abundant housing, very affordable, very cheap. And it's great. Who could argue with that? But the key thing about places like Vienna is that they've been investing for a very, very long time and they have abundance. Abundance is the word. There are places in like United States, in Houston, places in Japan, like where abundance has been achieved, but not through the public sector leading the way. And the key thing is we have to get to abundance as soon as possible.
But it's very defeatist to say, oh, we don't have the history there, we don't have the supply there, we don't have the systems there, so we'll just let this system go ahead where investment funds are making money off people who are really, really stuck in positions where they can't get on the housing ladder at all.
Well, but they're making money by providing homes. Like, I mean, if the people listening to this, they look around their homes, like how many homes in this country were provided by private developers? Say the vast majority. I mean, the way that
private developers different though, isn't it, to investment funds?
Well, you can separate it. We can talk about investment funds specifically if you want, but it's roughly the same thing. We're talking about private capital coming in, providing homes. Yes, they make a profit, but a home is provided. That's the key point. And if you focus on, well,
but
we don't want
a home
to make
it's
profit,
two,
then we
if
don't
it's
get the
2,000
homes.
A month, Sean, is it a home for somebody who is potentially looking down the line of retiring and not being able to afford the rent? I don't feel that these, like, I think there is a place for them as a niche form of delivery, but the problem is now they are dominating our housing market. They are dominating our housing system, particularly in Dublin. And again, I'll come back to policy has become skewed towards them rather than taking a holistic view of how we deliver housing. And I would argue that we have allowed rents significantly rise. And we know this. Mm-hmm. Government has said a number of points they were reluctant to cap rents because it would affect the investor appetite and supply of housing.
So we're getting lots of messages on this, Rory. This one, how can you build an affordable home in Ireland given the labour rates, the tax rates and the raw material prices?
OK, so the construction costs of a home, of an apartment, are less than 50% of the actual cost. In a house, they're less than 40%. You have significant, this is the Chartered Surveyors of Ireland have pointed this out, you have land costs are one of the most significant inputs into the cost, particularly in Dublin and the commuter belts and the cities. Land is the major factor. And that is one of the most scandalous things. And actually, there's a really interesting report written by the Department of Public Expenditure and Review, which just came out in the last few weeks, which points to the issue of land speculation and land hoarding inflating prices and inflating rents. So the issue is not really the construction cost.
It's the land cost.
It's the land cost, but it's also the developer profit. It's the cost of finance. These equity funds, it's a much more expensive form of financing than, for example, if the state was to borrow. And the central bank has also pointed out that there's a risk here. We are exposing ourselves to international flows of capital that is a very risky
form
of finance.
But they may just move on. Sean, the terms cuckoo fund and vulture fund, I know you speak to representatives occasionally from these organisations. Are they offended by those names?
Well, they may be. I know that they give out about them, but I think that, like, when it comes down to it, these are investors based overseas. But I think what they really care about is just being able to understand whether or not Ireland is investable, whether or not the rules are going to change.
But if they're called Vulture Fund and Cuckoo Fund, does it impact how they think they might be treated down the line, that regulation may change?
Uncertainty. Look, it's clear, like, if you're paying attention in Ireland, you know that institutional investors are very unpopular. And I think I know how I come across.
But they don't care about being unpopular.
Well, you know, they don't care. I'm the guy who's defending them, right? And I'm on the radio and I'm saying, you know, Rory's saying, obviously, this is a terrible crisis. People's lives being ruined. And I'm saying, oh, no, please think about the investors. And I'm saying, oh, no, it's OK. I've got studies that show that I'm right. I mean, it doesn't really land. And it's hard to convince people of this. And I get that. But I think that you have to, the really key point is that a lot of people have looked at this, a lot of places, a lot of times, and they've all come with the same answer. Same number, even. If you increase the housing stock by 1%, house prices fall by around 1%, maybe a bit more. And that applies to public housing, private housing, and it applies to everybody. So what I'm saying is, let's go for this abundance approach. Let's go for this Dunkirk approach. let's pull out all the stops. Let's have the state invest, let's have the private sector invest, and let's get housing costs down.
I would agree completely. Of course, if you have more supply of housing to the point at which everybody has at home, then you don't have an issue around. You're going to, of course, lead to drops in prices and rents. It is makes sense. But the issue is these funds are not about building to the point of saturation. I would ask you, show me a city in the world where real estate investment fund trusts have invested in housing and led to a drop in rents.
There are tons of cities like
there
that.
Are there are none.
Really are. We can talk about them right now. I mean,
but I think,
I mean, there really are tons of cities
Well, I think the point is, I actually haven't seen, and actually the United Nations rapporteur on the right to housing has actually did a report, wrote to the Irish government about the concern in which this turns housing into an investment commodity, an investment asset. As I said, if they were playing a small role in our market, there might be some room for it. But they are dominating our housing system. They are turning, they're locking people out of the market. And I do think it comes back to the state. The state is failing by really not providing what it could be providing.
All right. We're going to leave it there. Sean and Rory, thank you very much indeed, and take a break.